maybe this sermon this morning, just from like my own life. That's my favorite kind of sermons to preach about, because that's what's going on in my own life. And so I'm just going to like spill it over onto your life too. How to jumpstart your passion for God. So that sounds like fun, right? Who wants more passion for Jesus? Who needs a little jump start? You know, even if you don't need a jump start, you just want a little bit more jump in your passion for Jesus. So I just want to pray, because it really is just an honor to speak in church. It really is an honor to give God's word. I don't take it lightly that I was asked to do this morning, because you guys are so valuable, and I don't ever want to screw you guys up, you know, by saying something that's not of God. So just want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come. So because we just pray all the time here. So, Father, we just pray that you would just give me strength right now in this moment to give the word that you are calling me to give. And ask you, God, if you want to change any of it right now, I pray that you would just do that and you would speak through me. Help me to hear your voice. God, help people to hear your voice as well, God, whatever you have for them from this message, God, even if it's nothing I'm articulating, God, I pray that they would just catch it in the spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are living in super interesting times. We're living in super unfortunate times, right? We're living in really exciting times. We're living in really weird times. And we're living in new times. Like, everything that's going on right now in the world, in the church, in Huron, this pandemic has affected all of it. It really has touched every area of society. And you know what? It's the time for Christians to be the most passionate about Jesus than they ever have before. I'm just going to call it out. We need to be passionate people. We need to be the people God called us to be. I really fully believe that Christians should be some of the most happiest people on earth, because we have Jesus. We have this great gift that we were given that we don't deserve at all. It's called Jesus, and he's amazing, right? So I just really encourage you to look at your passion for God and ask yourself, am I actually on fire for Jesus? Am I passionate? And when I say on fire, that just means passion. So it's like a church term, fire. You know, we just yell it out. Like, it's just like yelling, be more passionate for Jesus, you know, like fire right now, let me show you. You know, it's just church term. So we're going to take a dive into some super practical tips on how to jumpstart your passion for God. But I really want to read this scripture to you first. It's a really common scripture. So it's, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5, verses 22 to 25. If you have a smartphone, you can always download a Bible app on there. So it's really easy to get to really fast. I highly recommend that. Then you can take your Bible with you anywhere. They have great plans on there, all these things. So it's Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25. And it's about the fruit of the Spirit. Who's heard about the fruit of the Spirit before? If you've been in church for a little bit, you know about these things. So it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is... So this is the fruit of living for Jesus. This is what should show up in your life, right? If you love Jesus, this is what shows up. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I really, like, I think that's totally true. Like, that's exactly what happens when you get that born-again experience, and all of a sudden you start living for Jesus. Shortly after, these things will start showing up in your life. All of a sudden, you have more peace, you have more joy, you have more love, you have kindness in your heart, you have goodness, you have self-control. Not perfect, obviously. We need, you know, we'll find out why here in just a second. Sometimes it's hard, you know, to walk in those things perfectly, but this is the fruit of what the Spirit does. When we have the Spirit living inside of us, Holy Spirit, which is God, this is the fruit of those things. So in the next verse here, it's really interesting. We know about the fruit of the Spirit now. And most of us read about those all the time. We sang about them in Sunday school. But it says, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I just, like, it's a really interesting concept that right when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit living inside of you, we crucify our flesh. So what is our flesh? Our flesh is like anything that is contrary to God. The things that we desire that is contrary to these fruits of the Spirit right here. anything that is anti-Jesus is the flesh. And sometimes it's not like necessarily bad things. Sometimes it's not sin things, but it could be if it gets in the way of God. Does that make sense? So when we crucify, what is crucifixion? What did Jesus do on the cross? He was tortured, right? Crucifixion is a torture. And it's a way of killing someone, right? It's the death penalty, basically. So when we take our flesh and we give it the death penalty, that's what we do. That's what we do with our flesh. We belong to Christ. We give our flesh the death penalty, right? Amen. Isn't that exciting? Who wants to give their flesh the death penalty? It's really annoying, so I agree. I want to do it. Yes. It gets in the way of me loving people. It gets in the way of me fulfilling my passions for Jesus. It gets me like lethargic in God. It just takes me off the rails. The flesh is a big annoying thing. So let's crucify it. Let's give it, the death penalty. Okay? So it's a fascinating thing. So and then it says right here in the next verse, if we live by the Spirit, who is God, right? Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So when we live in the Spirit, who is God, when you get born again, we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, who is God. It's a continual step by step. It's like an invitation that God's giving us to walk with him daily. It's a connection. There's a connection between the fruit of the Spirit and crucifying our flesh. When we crucify our flesh, the Holy Spirit can come and live, right?
Amen.
Right. So, and then there's like this whole invitation thing from God, who is the Holy Spirit. I keep saying that because I don't think sometimes we really fully understand. Sometimes we think of Holy Spirit like a ghost. The Holy Ghost is just floating around. But really, the Holy Spirit is God. Like when Jesus died and he left this earth, he left his Spirit on the earth so that we can be with God every single day. It's the greatest gift that you have ever been given to be able to walk with God daily, to have that encounter with him every day, right in you. Like right now, you can encounter the Lord right now. It's amazing. It's an amazing gift. And I feel like if Christians only knew, if we only took advantage of the gifts that God has given us. Yes, he died for us. Yes, we got salvation. But there's so much more to that gift of what he did, the full reward of what Jesus suffered for on that cross, to give you guys life, to give you salvation, to give you victory in every single area of your life that you're struggling with, which is victory over your flesh, which is the sinful desires. Okay? Amen. I like that so much. I love walking with the Holy Spirit. I love that he gave us that invitation to walk with him daily, to walk in the Spirit daily. But that takes a daily walk with God. So just like in every single relationship you have in your life, you have to maintain that relationship. So me and my husband, Chad, this guy right here, the worship leader, he's my husband. You kind of have a Hendrickson show today. Sorry about that. You got a lot of Hendrickson vibes up here. So just like in that relationship, like we got married 10 years now, this August, which is a big deal. I'm super excited about that. Thank you. It's hard work every day. Still love ya. I'm teasing. Okay. It's hard work. But honestly, it's like, what if I got married to Chad, on a Saturday, and then that Sunday, I was just like, just live my normal life. Didn't even see him. Like, just like, was like, oh yeah, I forgot I'm married. Like, we got to hang out. We got to buy a house together. We're going to have kids together. Like, I didn't even think about this, but I'm married. So, I get that tax credit. So that's good. That's not how you have a marriage, right? When you get married, you're so excited. You go on a honeymoon, you go and you buy your house together. You live your first year, few fights here and there, you're figuring out life because we're super selfish beings, right? So we figure out how to get not selfish and love each other and prefer one another. That's how marriage works, right? It's work, but it's worth it. It's worth it to be with someone, have that companionship, to grow a family together. Like, as soon as we had kids together, I love this man even more, like, because the way he loves our children is phenomenal. Like, there's nothing like that in the whole world. You grow together as a family, but there's constant maintenance that happens in a marriage. Like, constantly having to be like, you know, taking care of each other's needs. We have to go on date nights. We have to get away at least like for one night a year by ourselves without our children, right? At least one time a year. We have to do these retreats. We have to have these little breaks in our marriage, just like we do with God. You know, like we have to maintain our relationship with God. We don't just like get born again and live our day and then be like, oh yeah, I love God. That's right. Okay, so maybe God, do you want to hang out? You know, like, yes, he wants to hang out. He wants to hang out with you every single day. He wants you to be a part of your life every day. He's been yearning from that, from like the creation of the world, to see you come into existence and for you to fulfill your destiny in Jesus. He's been yearning for that. He created you to do that. He's such a proud father. Just like I'm proud of my children, they don't do anything for me to be proud of them. Well, they do now, like a little since they're older. But they just exist. Their existence makes me proud of them. Like, I love them when I look at them. There's joy when you have your baby. You know, like, babies, you know, they're just kind of like flesh and bones and just cry a lot. You have to feed them. But you know what? You love that baby because they're your baby and you care about your baby. So it's amazing. So it's the same thing. You maintain your relationship with your children as well. Let's say you had a baby and you're like, oh great, I did it. Now I'm a mom. And then you just like walk away from your baby for a couple days. No, you don't do that. No, you need, the baby needs you. It needs your mother, it needs their father, it needs all that cooing. They need to feed the baby. You need to do all the things. You need to maintain that relationship so you have a healthy relationship with that child. It's very, very important. And it's very important with our relationship with God. So we got to keep things fresh. We got to keep things moving. We got to keep things going with God every single day. And it seems monotonous. It seems like, okay, why do I have to do it every single day? Because you have to. Because you have this thing called the flesh. And because you need to put it on the cross. You need to crucify it. And you need to kill it. You need to kill that flesh because you can't survive without Jesus. Amen. It's like the devil's such a jerk. So I'm just saying it. He's a jerk. So you don't want to mess with the jerk. He doesn't play fair. So you need Jesus every single day. Amen. It's just maintaining that relationship. So let's go over some super practical ways. I have five really super. I wanted to keep it really practical, just so that I'm just kind of a practical gal. I like concrete things that I can do to help my relationship with the Lord. So the first one that I have for you guys is goals. If goals is kind of an intense word for your personality, we can call it dreams. You know, a little bit of dreams for the Lord with you and him together, doing things together. Let's read a scripture together. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 17, it says, therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Here's the truth that I get from that. God is continually making us new. Every moment of every day brings a fresh beginning. There's this book that was written a long time ago by Benny Hinn. You know, however you feel about Benny Hinn. I love the guy. I'm into it. So he wrote a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And the whole concept was every day you talk to God. Every day you wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. And you talk to the Spirit of God. You walk with him every day. It's kind of like the part of the Godhead that gets forgotten. Like I mentioned, the Holy Spirit is God. There's a Trinity. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we talk to all three because they're all God. All separate, but all the same. It's deep, deep stuff. I know. Happy Sunday morning. All right. All right. So in my life, actually, I daily make daily goals or daily dreams for my life, or however you want to say it. I call them goals because I'm kind of just driven that way, of different things that I want to do each day. Every day with the Lord, I try to write down there, spend time with Jesus, have my God and coffee time kind of mixed in together because I'm a mom. I need my coffee, but I need Jesus more because I'm a mom, you know? So it's like a concept, you know, like whatever makes you, whatever floats your boat a little bit. So we live intentional lives for the Lord, though. We don't just float through our life. We're not on the offense. We are on the defense. Wait. We are on the offense, not the defense, right? So, like, whenever we approach our day, we're not just, like, waiting for the devil to come and throw stuff at us. We're already there with a shield, not paying attention to the devil, right? So we are on the offense. We are ready to go with the Lord. We are intentional. So this is like a great example for me. Let's say you have a goal to read your Bible in a year, right? So you set your Bible reading goals. You get on your little app on your phone, and you get your Bible reading set up. And let's say you get halfway through the year, and you only got a quarter away through the Bible. So you're 50% behind. But you probably read way more of the Bible than you did by not having that goal. So I just want to encourage you to not like beat yourself up if you don't hit those goals, those spiritual goals with the Lord. At least they were in place and you got further along than you did before. And they're honestly like goals are kind of like a budget. They're not there to, to restrict you or make you feel like fuddy-duddy to like restrict the Holy Spirit. They're just there to give you accountability and like a safeguard. Okay, every morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to spend time with the Lord, or every night I'm going to read my Bible before I go to bed, or I'm going to pray for these people. I'm going to pray for my family before I go to bed every night, because this is the goals that I have for my family. I guarantee if you start praying for your children before you go to sleep every single night, just watch and see what God does. Just watch and see what he does. The dynamics of your family will shift. They will change. Several times, me and Chad would have a crisis in our family, and we would just pray, and instantly things would just lift, and it would just get better. Like, prayer is so powerful. Like, it's just like a tool that we just, like, that constant contact with the Lord. Like, he is on our side. He is fighting for us. He's warring for us. He's just waiting for us to say, hey, let's do it. And he's like, okay, let's do it. He's all about it. So that's number one. So number one is goals. Whoopsies. Number two is when you feel your passion for Jesus, just need a little jump start, or your passion for God, just do the right thing. Whatever the right thing is in your life in that moment, just do the right thing. And that isn't just getting on Netflix and binge watching TV. That's not the right thing to do, I guarantee you. That's probably not it. You know, there's days where you do that, and it's fun. We have kids. We do weird stuff all the time. It's fun stuff. But we don't, like, turn to our flesh to get fulfilled. We don't turn to our flesh. That's the wrong thing to do. We don't reach out and do that. Let's say you're really struggling with a sin in your life that you can't get over, like drinking alcohol, okay? In that moment, every day, let's say you do it every single day. You can't help but drink. Say, this day, this hour, I'm not going to drink. And you just make that choice. You do the right thing. I'm not going to drink this hour. And then you do the next hour. You do the right thing the next hour. Pretty soon you look behind you like, look, I did it 8 hours. I didn't drink alcohol for 8 hours. It's very, very like dramatic, but for some people that's a huge deal, like not drinking alcohol in a whole day. So I just encourage you to look around and do the right thing every single day. I feel like the world around us is very self-absorbed, typically. Not everyone, not everywhere. There's some really good things in the world. I'm not diminishing that. There's amazing people out there doing amazing things. But we really need to help others and love others. And sometimes that's the right thing to do when we are in a funk, when our passion for Jesus is like, I don't really care. You have a little apathy there. Like the quarantine, honestly, it made it all about us. We were stuck in our houses with just our family doing stuff just to focus on us, which is great. We have those times in our life where we do that. Our smartphones, it's all about us. How can I interact with the world? It's actually set up the whole, like, the science of this whole thing of how they advertise to you is all about you. They find advertisements that are just for you so that you'll buy them and you'll get stuck on there for days and days and days. It's amazing because these people are smart. I work in retail. I know how to get your senses going so that you want to buy a whole bunch of crap that you don't want. That's my job. That's what we do. That's what advertising does. It's like, please buy all this stuff. It's beautiful. Look at this display. Look at all these flowers. Kendall, you want some flowers? It's every time. I know. Look at the plants. So, but that's just what we do. But it's an absorbent thing. And like the world caters to that. And the American dream caters to that. Like you can do anything you want to do. Do anything that you want. Whatever feels right. Whatever looks right. That's what we're told. That's what I was told since I was a child, basically. Whatever is right for you. But what about what's right for those around us? What about the people around us? What can we do to make the world a better place? Martin Luther King Jr., he said, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he said, the time is always right to do the right thing. I think that quote is so powerful. I just think that encompasses of who God is as well. So always do the right thing. Right now is the right time. When's a good time to do this good thing that I want to do right now? Let's do it right now. So when you're feeling tired and not knowing how to keep going, just do the right thing that day. I feel like moms, man, you guys are amazing. Like, some days, like, things are just crazy at the house when you're a mom. And, like, there's kids. There could be a naked kid in your kitchen eating peanut butter and Nutella any moment of the day, or cut their hair on top of that, and then they put cornflakes in it. Like, that could happen. And you know what? There's a moment every day where you have to say, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. And some days you fail. Some days you freak out because that happened, because that's really a freak out moment, right? But so there's some days where you can just like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. Not crawl into their thing and play with them, which might be the right thing, but like, okay, I love you, but you can't do that anymore. Let's get you cleaned up in the bath. You know, like patience, self-control, all these things, love, you know, experiencing those things with your children. So moms, just do the right thing every day in that moment. And that's loving other people. So, and like, let's say you're like looking around and you're like, I don't know what to do that's right. Like, what's right? What's wrong? What exactly is right? You know, the Bible is really like a helpful tool in trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. And if you, when in doubt, just love others. Love your family, love your friends, love your coworkers, love your enemies. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, it talks about the greatest commandments, right? So what's the first commandment, right? What's the greatest commandment of all? Love God, right? Love God. What's the second commandment, greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. So here's the greatest commandments. Love God, love others. Let's just keep it simple, right? So when we don't know what to do, just go and love on someone. Something that I've noticed when I get really introspective just means when I look into myself and I'm feeling a little woe is me or things are just not quite going right. We have actually our adoption right now to China has been on hold basically since April. And so we haven't been able to go to China. Our son should have already been with us and we should have already, you know, had our family day, you know, our son could be here and we could have a joyous time, like all these things. And here it is going on August next month. And we likely won't see him until October or longer. It could go into next year. So there's this struggle, you know, where we could go inside of ourselves and look and be like, lick your wounds and like, this is what's happening to me. But like, God has challenged me not to do that. He's challenging me to look up, look around, and love other people, especially in my own family. This is like me being vulnerable with me. It's very specifically with my own family, being very present with them, putting the phone down, playing games with them, looking them in the eye, talking to them, not yelling at them if they mess up or they do mistakes. Because kids mess up and they do mistakes, right? We live in, this is life, this is how the world works. Just that whole concept of being present and loving on people is what the Lord is calling me to do in that moment. And it's taken my eyes off of my problems and onto what God wants and what God has for me. If we just look up and there's like all this other stuff that God has for us. So also there's some other things to do around you. If you need to find someone to love on, just bring someone a meal. There's lots of people around here that would love a meal. I know when we had 3 extra foster kids in our home last year, we had 7 kids all together. This church stepped it up and they brought us a meal every single day for a week. And we had these awesome meals. I never felt more loved before ever. Even like the meal was more valuable than money to me, honestly, because it was like time that I could spend with these kids that were struggling. So you could also give someone money if they're struggling. You could do anything. You could just go out and love on people, pray for people, call up a friend that is in need, and, you know, talk to them. I remember when I first got back from being a missionary, I wanted to go and help and do something. I called the nursing home up, and I was like, hey, like, what can I do to love on these people in the nursing home, these amazing people? And they're like, well, just come and talk to them. They just need someone to talk to. And so I did that for like several months. I just went and I just talked to them. I did their nails a few times. And like, there's just like the workers were so happy that someone, they felt loved by me loving on these people, not to mention the people that were being loved on. There's plenty of opportunity to serve and to love people if you're looking for it. Just go out and find it. We got to crush our flesh. I feel like every time we go and we love on someone, that is crushing that sinful nature that we have. And also, what is right? You know, like there's this whole concept in society, and I won't get into it too much. You know, the whole absolute truth. Truth is relative. You know, like the whole debate. Honestly, like the Bible is truth, and so you just look in the Bible and find out truth. And honestly, you're going to like what you see. Jesus has a lot of good things to say about what is right. And there's plenty of opportunity for you to do that. And it's a lot of it is obedience, too. There's a lot of ways that we can obey the Lord and we can love on other people through that, too. Just a little side note for you. So number three here in how to jumpstart your relationship with God, be with others that love God. So I love this verse. I actually have it in our kitchen. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily that were being saved. My daughter, Genesis, even knows this scripture because we got suckered the other day at Walmart. I don't go there very often, but when we do, it's we buy a whole bunch of weird stuff. So we were in the aisle, and then all of a sudden, there's this aroma of bread. And I was like, I need to eat that bread right now. So we went up to the counter of the bakery, and we're like, are you making bread? She's like, yes. Do you want some? I'm like, yes, I want the fresh bread. And she's like, sure. She was so nice. She's like, but you're going to get addicted. She was right. We've done it two times. We get the fresh bread. It's good. And then as I broke it in the car with me, Jenny, and Lamonte, Jenny said, oh, it's just like the Bible, Mom. They broke bread together with joy. I'm like, yes, so this is biblical. My addiction is definitely okay with the Lord because it's in the Bible. So we're good. Right? Don't be a glutton. It's okay. It's really good. You should try it, though. All right. See, I can sell you anything. All right. So some other things that we can do. Being with the church. Like the early church, that's what they did. They ate together. They were together all the time. They took care of each other's needs. They said there is no one among them that had need because everybody took care of each other's needs. And I love that. It's awesome. It's beautiful stuff. Can you give me a water, Chad? Thanks. So also, another really great thing that you can do is you can come to the Gathering Generals Conference, and you can help serve there. I think that would be a really powerful experience for you to get out of maybe a rut with the Lord, to increase your passion for Jesus. Helping at events like that, there's blessings beyond what you could know and favor beyond what you can know by helping at things like that. You can start, let's say you don't have a small group. There's plenty of small groups in here. If you run a small group, can you raise your hand? You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 of them. I run a youth group, so. There's plenty of small groups you can join, but let's say, you don't have a small group that you, you jive with or whatever. This is what I did. I looked around our church. I found a few moms, four moms. I said, hey, you guys want to meet? We only meet once a month because we have a million kids. It's really hard to meet. And we just pray for each other. And we talk about some things that are hard, some things that are good. And then we have a Facebook thread and we put prayer requests on there. And several times throughout the month, we have a prayer request on there and we need each other. Just this last week or 2 weeks ago, I had something very serious I needed prayer for. Within a day, things were instantly better from confessing that I needed help and people praying, and things got significantly better. So sometimes you need to start it yourself if you don't have something like that in your life. So I just want to encourage you in that. There's plenty of people in this room, though, and then people that aren't here that you could hang out with and that would gladly love on you, too. But you need to be a part of a family. You need to be part of a community of people. So important. It's also super important to be vulnerable and to ask for prayer and help. Sometimes that's a hard thing for us to do. It's a very prideful American attribute of us, is sometimes we don't ask for help. We always hear this phrase, like, if you need anything, ask for help, you know, or if you need anything, just call. But in reality, most people aren't going to call and aren't going to tell you what they need. It's just a nice thing to say. So instead, maybe be like, hey, like, I'm going to bring you a meal, like, if you want to love on someone. But that's just like a word of advice. But just I encourage you to reach out to someone in this room and network and love on each other. There's so many people in here that would gladly love on you. In a small group, I'd encourage you to be a part of a small group as well. So this is number four. So there's two left here. Doing really good on time. To do something different. So this is something that I encourage you to jumpstart your relationship with God, is to do something different. You're always doing the same thing. Just do something different. Get out of the same boxes that you've been in. So in Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Here's the truth I get from that. God calls us to let go of the former things so that we can cling to our new identity in Christ. So this is a prayer that I prayed several times in my walk with Jesus. And the prayer is, whatever you want to do, Lord, just do it. I'm open to it. Whatever you want to do, God, I'm open to whatever you have. That looks scary, but God, if you want me to do that, I will do that. Several times God has challenged me to pray for someone in public or something, do something really hard that is out of my comfort zone of how I was raised, of who I am, and like how I was built. Like, whoa, you want me to go and pray for that guy? He doesn't have legs. He's probably going to think I'm crazy. You know, like, you want me to go and pray for him and ask him I can pray for his legs to grow out? God, I don't even know if I have faith for that. But then the Lord says, yes. And you do it. I've never seen someone's legs grow out like that, you know? But like, we just say yes to it. We say yes to what God did. But it really stirs my passion. Now I'm like, yeah, I want to see that now. I want to see what the Lord can do. If he's challenging me to do that, I want to do it. When I first became a Christian, I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about who God was. I was 15 years old, and I got prayed for, and I started speaking in tongues. I didn't even know what tongues were. Like, the whole concept of tongues was so foreign. I don't know. It's just like, and it's kind of hush-hush sometimes in the church, so I didn't even know really what it was, because no one explained it, and I was like, okay, I experienced God. I felt his presence. He was super good. He's super kind. He's super great, and now I'm speaking in tongues. I never want to not feel God anymore. I never want to be away from God anymore. So whatever you have, God, I want that. Even if I don't understand it, even if I don't get it, I want that. That's like a super valuable prayer to pray. Trust me, it's super valuable. It happened to me a second time as well. When I was in Redding, California, at Bethel Church, I was going to their school ministry there, and the first week was a whirlwind. These people were crazy, in the best kind of crazy sense that you could call crazy. They were going after Jesus hard. Sometimes they were doing like prophetic acts on the stage, like swirling, like not very South Dakota-y, just flags and like people on the floor laughing and doing some Jesus stuff, you know? And I was like, whoa, okay. But God, like, don't let my mind hinder me. Don't let me mess this up. Whatever you have, God, I want that. Like, I'm the problem here. If you're in this, Jesus, and I'm against that, like, I'm the problem. So help me, God, whatever you want to do, I'm all about it. And I was probably the craziest one after that point, which is fine, which is good. There's no reason not to do those things. So I have Cecile come up, and I wanted you to share that little testimony from Friday night. I think it's so sweet. There's also this truth while she's coming up that if you are bored of God, it's not him, it's you. In the relationship, it's you. You're the problem if you're bored, okay? He's really great.
Yeah, I agree with that. That is true. There is nothing boring in encountering God. It is so not boring. But I just did. I was kind of telling these guys this morning about Friday night, how it was like we got a little, like in my words, I was like, we got a little crazy on Friday night. And I started telling them about it, you know, and it was like, well, Charlotte, during worship, Charlotte like just had developed a stomachache or something, right? And so Brenda and Ruby got around Char, and they just started praying over her. And I was standing in the back, and Ruby waved me over, and she's like, come pray. Charlotte is like having stomach pains. So like just during the worship time, we were praying over her, and I kind of started just like hollering a little bit. That's just something that God is doing in me, just like giving me freedom to just shout to the Lord in worship. And it's just like I kind of shared that last week. It's just so liberating. It like I really am crushing my flesh in that way because I'm not comfortable shouting. I'm not even really comfortable saying amen in church, but I'm doing it because it's bringing me like a freedom that I haven't known before. And I do want to say about that too before I forget is like since I've started doing that, just like letting it loose, like give Jesus a hallelujah like in worship or whatever, I really feel his presence more. And I feel like, honestly, other people feel the presence more in this church since we've been doing that. You know, Brenda had mentioned how she feels the presence of God here. And I just feel like, you know, when we just, you know, like God sees your heart. He knows that you're worshiping him. It's not that. But when you like just decide, I'm going to lay it all down and I'm going to worship the Lord, even if it looks weird to other people, he responds. And there really is a higher worship that you can enter into. But anyway, that was a little side note. But so Friday night, it was just so awesome. So I came over and we were praying over Charlotte. And like, she just like got, like the stomach pain just went away. It just went away. And she just started laughing joyfully because like the stomach pain just went away during worship while we were praying. And then Ruby, you know, that spiritual laughter is really contagious. And Ruby started laughing and laughing and she fell on the floor laughing. And then I started laughing and then we started dancing. And there was like Lisa and Gabriel were in the back and they were dancing. And I was like, what the heck? I'm going to get out on the aisle and I'm going to dance and I'm going to twirl. And it was just like, it was just amazing. It was such a breakthrough. I just really felt like God just really loved that. And I was like, look at what's happening to us baby boomers. Like, we're really getting filled with the fire of the Lord. And it doesn't matter if people think you're weird. I mean, it's just beautiful. It was just amazing. So Friday night prayer is really fun. And I do want to add one more thing, too. It's like, there wasn't necessarily a lot of people there, especially for the intercession hour, but it was powerful. I mean, it was just powerful. We prayed and prayed and prayed. We could have prayed, probably had a like overnight slumber prayer party that night. So, but okay.
I'm into it. I like sleep though.
Yeah. That's awesome. You get it, baby boomers. I like that. I think I'm going to skip that video, Matthew, so that we can have more time, okay? So there's other things that we can do to just, like, get out, do something different. You know, I have, like, you watch a video on YouTube. YouTube is a great source. There's just, like, free stuff. There's lots of crazy stuff out there on the internet. There's some bad stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff out there. Go out there and, like, watch videos, some preaching videos. If you need some ideas of who to listen to, just let us know. We can set you up. Listen to a podcast. My favorite mom podcast is by a woman named Sally Clarkson. She's amazing. She's free. They're free. It's a podcast. Are free, so you can listen to them while you do laundry or whatever you're doing in the car. When you're traveling, you can listen to these podcasts, and they're just really, really powerful. And a lot of times, like, I got my mom tribe idea out of a podcast. So that's, you know, there's great ideas. There's great ways to grow in the Lord through these podcasts. Put worship music on and just sing, you know, just find your favorite worship song or just worship. I remember I was in an apartment once with a friend, and all of a sudden, there's no music playing, and she just lifted her hands, and she just started worshiping and laughing and loving on Jesus just out of nowhere. And I remember it still to this day because her love for Jesus was inspiring to me. I was like, that is awesome. I like that. You are awesome. I just love it when people like just love on the Lord without caring about what other people think, because the Lord is the most important. You can do a prophetic act. A prophetic act is just doing something to encourage the atmosphere to shift prophetically. If you need more training in the prophetic things, come and talk to Autumn. Pastor Autumn, she has lots of training about prophetic gifts. Those things are really great to grow in your spiritual gifts, those type of things. Come to our Friday night prayer meetings. Come to our Saturday night prayer meetings. Come to our Tuesday night worships. Come to our Thursday morning prayer meetings. Come to our Sunday morning prayer meetings. There's so many prayer meetings. We pray over here. I don't know if you guys knew that about us, but we pray a lot. So just come to all those things. They're powerful. Like, we were praying for the Native people a few Fridays ago, and like, man, like, I love the Native people so much more now, and I have so much more perspective and so much more love for them, and I have Native kids. Like, I love Native people, and now I just feel like I've grown a lot in that love for them. Pray for someone. Pray for someone in your house. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your kids. Pray for them out loud. Pray for someone in public. Like, that will get you excited about Jesus. Like, wow, I just did that. I prayed for someone in public. It's a big deal. Reach out to someone and bless them. Do something different. Use your prophetic gifts. Share a testimony of someone. Share your testimony with someone. Just something different. Just get out of the normal flow of your life, of your normal routine, your one-track mind. Do this, this, and this, and do something a little different. You can even put it as one of your goals. I'm going to do something different. So that way it's in your schedule, so you don't feel like you're, you know, out of your schedule. That's how I think, at least. But okay, so number five here of how to jumpstart your relationship with Jesus or God is get a heavenly perspective. This is probably one of my favorite things is, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Let's say that again. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is a very loaded scripture. That is Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if you are wanting to look that up. I encourage you to do a word study on that. Like, there's so much great things in there about how we need to set our minds and have a picture of the way God sees us. So I just recently, actually it was during a prayer meeting again, that same one about the praying for the Native people, I had this, like, vision. The vision was of South Dakota. And, like, I saw me praying in South Dakota, and I felt like it was James River Church. Like, I represented James River Church in this vision. And, like, God was looking around, and he was trying to find somebody to pray for South Dakota, to intercede for South Dakota, to see the things of God happen. And he saw me in this vision, and he was like, you pray. You have been praying. I've seen you pray. Like, for the last probably, I don't know, 12 years we've been doing Friday night prayer. Like, literally my whole 20s, every single Friday night, I spent in prayer, almost, unless we were out of town. But, like, probably 99%, 95% of the Friday night prayers, I was there praying in my 20s, giving my 20s to Jesus on Friday nights to pray and intercede mostly for South Dakota, mostly for an awakening, mostly for Huron to come into its destiny. And so that is the inheritance, though, that we have as part of James River Church. We are a praying church. We will always be that. If nothing else happens at James River Church, prayer will happen. Like, because prayer is the most important part of walking with Jesus and a part of changing a society for Jesus and seeing people get saved. It's prayer. And I just feel like when God looks across South Dakota, who is he looking for? And sometimes we think, oh, there's other big spiritual giants out there somewhere else praying. Someone else is doing this. But no, he's looking at us. He's like, hey, no, you guys are the ones. I raised you up. You are the army that I'm raising up right now to make a change in South Dakota. I feel like some of the changes that we have seen in South Dakota, the big ones, was due to these prayer meetings that we've been having for the last 12, 15 years. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And that's like the heavenly perspective that we need to have given to ourselves. So in the Bible, it talks about how when we become Christians, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. When we look at the earth, we see it from Christ's perspective. So sometimes when we're on earth, right now we're on earth, and we look out and we see things happening around us, and sometimes when things are really hard and really dark, we need to remember where we're seated. we look at Christ's perspective and ask him, God, what do you want to do in this situation? Jesus, what do you want to do in this situation right now? Show me your perspective. Give me your thoughts. Like, I don't know what to do. I need a heaven download perspective because right now things are just looking really like the devil is wreaking havoc in my life, and I need your perspective to show me that he's already lost. Like, you need to know that. Like, and that God will show you those things, and we need to get with him in those places, and he will show us those things. Another really great way to do that is study the names of God. I don't know if you've done that. There's so many names of God. It's really, really powerful. I just want to read this quote to you. It's just really good. So I posted this on our thread, I think, our James River Church thread. But it says, God is speaking to you in every area of your life. Drawn to a color or a number, he is speaking to you. Ask him what that color or number means. Read about their definitions. Thinking of someone, God is speaking to you. Give them a call or a text. Have a dream that strikes with you, that sticks with you. God is speaking to you. Find the interpretation. Watching a movie and your heart is moved, God is speaking to you. Ask him to reveal more. The person that is actually writing this is really interesting. Her name is Jen Johnson. She was watching a movie, and there was an adoption scene on there. And right after she saw that scene, her and her husband decided to adopt. It's not an accident. Like, even when we're doing something that seems not spiritual at all, God can be speaking to us through those things. Like, if you're watching, like, Chad, like, when he was watching Despicable Me 3, he started crying when there's, like, these kids that were orphans, like, in a children's movie. And we're like, well, that makes sense. Like, you're drawn to orphans. You're drawn to the ministry of caring for these kids. So, like, God speaks to us even when we're doing things that don't seem spiritual. I think that's what it means. When you get the chills, when you hear something, God is speaking to you. Pay attention. Hearing God is something you have to practice. Lean into his voice. When you hear him, most people lean into his voice when you hear him. Most people can hear God in the big and loud, but he is drawing you to hear him in his still small voice. And I kind of want to end there. There's so much more that we can talk about, but I want to end at noon for you guys. There's so much more that we can do to jumpstart our relationship with God, but I want to encourage you this week is to look around you and ask yourself, like, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? Like, you're not the problem if I'm bored or if things are weaning in a relationship. I'm probably the problem. I'm probably drawing cold to you. I'm probably paying more attention to my sinful desires and not to the fruit of the Spirit of what you're producing inside me. So lean into those things. Get into them. You're going to have a good time. It's going to be really fun. I promise you. Jesus does not disappoint. So, yes. All right, let's stand, and I just want to pray a blessing over you, and then we'll be done. Father, we just come before you, God, and we just say yes. We just sign up again, Jesus. We just say yes to your heart, yes to your plans, yes to who you are. Jesus, we just ask you, God, in this moment, God, to jumpstart us again, Jesus. God, you can do in a moment, God, what counselors can do in a lifetime, God. Like, you can change our hearts. You can do great things in us. You can do miracles. You are amazing, Jesus. And so we just ask you that you just manifest yourself in this room with these people as they go this week, and that you would jumpstart great passion, fiery people for Jesus. When people see them on the streets, Jesus, they would see your face and they would want to know more about you, God. People would say, there's something different about these people. I want to know more about Jesus. Like, God, I just ask you for that to happen. I pray for the fire of God to come and touch each and every single one, God. We just ask you to just birth something great, Lord Jesus, out of our church, out of your people, Jesus. God, I long to see your people, God, come into their full destiny, and you get your full reward on the cross, the full reward of your suffering, Jesus, on the cross. We long to see that in this place. So we just bless them with that, God. We just bless them, God, to fulfill their destiny. We bless them to go further and farther in you than ever before, than they've ever imagined, God. God, I even pray for those baby boomers right now, God, that you would just jumpstart them even more, God, to just like slingshot them into something that they didn't even know they could do. Something that was off their radar, God. We just pray for surprises and for gifts to come out and come forth this week, and for you to see miracles done and for salvation and souls to be saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, and have a great week. Thank you.